It's Tuesday, and welcome to Tilcast Shorts, a podcast that will be never funded by Saudi oil. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And together we are wingmen flying on the wings of eaglets. We want to continue our story about EA. And hey, I don't have to lead this one on. So, Rusty, you're pretty interested in this since we started last week.
Oh man, it's taken the internet, man. This is one of the biggest things, biggest news stories in a long time, actually. So the big story here is EA. It's actually being taken over in a way here. So it was back on September 29th. EA announced that they are in an agreement right now to go with a completely private transaction. And it's a takeover from a investment group. And it's going to be in the
a couple the different of investment groups.
Oh yeah, a few of them. Yeah, but it's to the tune of $55 billion, like with a B. That's a big takeover, like huge for this market, right? There's a lot of different things I'm going to go into here, but basically, what this is going to come down to is it's going to go from a public entity to being privately held, and it's going to be completely delisted, from basically stocks.
Does that mean I've heard a lot of stuff talking about this, about how that could change how some of the games are made, right? So I'd wondered, and I sit somewhere in the middle with a lot of this stuff, right, where there are certain things that are not cool in Saudi Arabia that are cool here, and it could change the way that they filter certain things within games.
Well,
because it's not publicly traded.
It's not just Saudi Arabia, right? So the consortium that's buying up all the shares, basically. There's Saudi Arabia's public interest, public investment fund, which is a group of, Saudi Arabia money that's putting towards this. But it's also a couple private equity firms, such as Silver Lake and Infinity Partners is a couple of the big ones. So it's not all Saudi Arabia money, but it is a majority stake. So while I understand that, I understand where you're coming from there, what the reality here is the investment funds are looking to make money. Being privately held, what these funds do is they will basically buy up a company's stock, hold it for a period of time, normally in the range of like 5 to 10 years or something like that, and try to improve the marketability of that company so that their stock prices go up, like their value goes up. And then after that period of time, they'll sell and they'll be able to, basically reap the profits from that sale. So it's a shorter term investment strategy than going public, because going public, you've got you sit in a board, the board of directors sits down. They're like, yeah, this quarter we did all right. Well, we've got plenty of room for next quarter, things like that.
I see it as a mixed thing. Like maybe they're not trend chasing as much as they have been. Right. But it's also EA and the fact that EA is being funded by, Saudi, who's not necessarily the most ethically, it's a very questionable ethics country, right? I don't know any other way to say that.
Yeah, and that's true. So we don't know how much influence the stakeholders in this case is going to push onto the leadership of the company. What we do know is that Andrew Wilson, the current CEO of the company, is going to stay on. The headquarters is going to stay in California. Basically the acquiring group gains access to the entire IP stable of EA. Anything that they're currently building or is in works, they have, controlling access to it. That could mean to make the company more profitable, they could reduce sizes. They could reduce the amount of, different development studios or change direction in some ways.
Speaking of that, Jason had a bet with me, and if we were spending money, he's going to have to probably owe it to me. There's a lot of speculation right now. There's a whole lot of spinoff stories that happened over the last week about them just junking BioWare.
Well, and honestly, I don't think that might happen. I mean, so
they haven't been profitable in like 10 years.
It's possible that they could do that, but it's also possible that they go back to, the strategy that made BioWare profitable initially. EA's management of BioWare has been more towards, let's push
a yearly releases,
transactions, and do yearly releases.
Don't forget all the service packs we had in Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
Right. Everybody is really chasing that, the success stories of, Fortnite games as a service, right? Everybody's putting massive amounts of money into those baskets and it's failing horribly. And EA's not alone in that. But it's possible that the people holding the money, could push EA in a direction that, that makes it more profitable. And in a way, this could mean less of that shit. But there's also the possibility that they're like, we want to pump as fast as possible. And the best way to pump has been microtransactions over the past 10 years. That's been the way for companies to make money. So there's all another swing to the other side.
That's where all those Saudi prince whales have been spending money on microtransactions and cosmetics and games.
Right.
I mean,
as long as they get it for free, right? So it's possible either.
I mean, they're probably buying all that FIFA stuff. Just saying.
It's, right. The thing is. The private investment firms, private equity firms going into this, they're taking on a lot of risk, but they also could benefit from a large reward. It doesn't help them to basically gut the company. It's happened in the past. There have been companies that went private, got gutted, and there's basically nothing left of them but a name now. But I don't see that happening with EA. EA being as big as it is, they might trim the fat a bit and streamline processes. But arguably, it needed to happen. Like EA has kind of gotten, in a way, they'll gobble up all these all these smaller companies and basically chop them up for bits and put it into the EA machine. It might be that, that those kinds of acquisitions start to slow down and they start to actually use the talent that they pick up. So we don't know a lot about what's going to actually happen in this, but I'm going to be cautiously optimistic in this case.
I'm probably not. The only thing that we as a crew have played that have come out in the last 5 years is literally Jedi Survivor, basically, and the remake of Mass Effect 1-3. That's literally all we've done in the last 5 years.
The biggest things the biggest IPs that are going to be picked up, basically, any of the EA like sports games. Battlefield's part of that. There's of course, all of the, the development studios that EA's gobbled up over the years. Those are all part of that. But it's possible that they slow those releases down like they did with Battlefield. I mean, there was, you know, Battlefield's a slower release, and arguably the next Battlefield that's, you know, that's coming is, you know, going to be one of the better ones.
The thing with BioWare, though, versus any of the other developers under the EA umbrella is that they have had time to develop games. They've not been a part of the bi-yearly push.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had plenty of time to let games cook. And let's face it, as much as I liked it, Mass Effect Andromeda was extremely either disliked or mixed on its release. Anthem, which came 2 years later, was a complete failure. 2 years after that, they just did the Legendary Edition, you know, up-reses.
Well, but I'm just saying, like,
which was good. But then 3 years after that, you have Veilguard, that was a complete development cycle. And much like Anthem, while not as bad as Anthem in as far as like refunding and shit like that, still not a great release for them.
Well, no. I was looking up while we've been talking about this, how many people are left at BioWare. And there's less than 100 people of the core staff left. And the people that have been gone for quite a while that made the games that we liked, obviously the doctors, right? But Casey Hudson comes to mind, right? He hasn't been part of BioWare since 2014. And since 2014, BioWare has sucked. David Gator, who's also one of the lead writers for the Dragon Age series, has not been part of the company now in 9 years. Right.
Right.
Most of the people that were right, like most of the people that were key to their success and key to the reasons that we liked BioWare are no longer part of BioWare. It's a different company. It is essentially, like I said before, the ship of Theseus. It's literally the company in name only, and that is it. And so, like, hoping for beyond hope that something good comes out is great. But honestly, I'd look to see what these people are doing in other companies right now versus what BioWare is. And I'm not holding on to any kind of hope. I'm not doing any day one Mass Effect anything right now, or any day one Dragon Age anything right now, because BioWare has sucked massive ass for over 10 years.
And BioWare is just one facet of the whole thing. Like,
that's the only reason I'm interested in EA.
Well, I mean, EA has their hands in a lot of pies. With the controlling interest of, you know, of the company going to, you know, basically a foreign investor, the biggest concern that I see, and probably the biggest hurdle that they're going to have with, you know, with this acquisition, is trying to get regulatory approvals, through antitrust and whatnot. And the additional hurdle of basically having Saudi Arabia or a Saudi Arabian, you know, group, having a controlling interest in a U.S. company. And that's, you know, that might could have put a kibosh on it, or at least delay the whole thing. But it's way too early to tell as to what kind of, like, functional difference this is going to be to the company itself and to the products that that company makes, because we really don't know what they want to do. They just want to control it, and there's a lot of money in it. There's a lot of eyes on this particular thing going down because it is the biggest one, biggest, you know, one of the actually the biggest private acquisitions, you know, that's ever been done. Two, it's a gaming, you know, it's in gaming, right? So I saw one of the speculations behind this is that they're betting on AI development tools.
Okay.
Taking a lot of or making the platforms that they're purchasing into more viable, because AI is getting better at basically replacing developers. You would just have your visionaries behind the game, and then you would basically send it to the Clanker coding farm, right? That is a speculation that's going on right now, but it's one of the things that I saw just trolling around on the internet as a possible, like, this is what they're betting on. Who knows? We'll be watching it closely. The market, the gaming market is going to be watching it closely, because it doesn't have to be a big acquisition like EA to affect gamers like us. It could be that this kind of thing could happen with more, indie, developers, and you end up with, conglomerations of indie studios being brought together under private investment funds instead of going public, which would have been harder for indies to do. It would be something that could change how games are provided and produced going forward. Hopefully it does not cause, loss of, brain drain in there, because we don't want developers to lose their jobs. Obviously we want games, but we want the people behind the games to continue doing what they do, right? So it's kind of a weird thing going on right now, and it's very interesting to watch, and it'll be something that I'll probably touch base on, we'll touch base on, multiple times over the next year or two that it's going to take for it to go through.
Right on. Well, ask you guys as the viewer/listener what you think. Leave a comment on youtube.com. Find full episodes of Tiltcast at tiltcast.com, iTunes, and Spotify. And we'll record a full-length episode at some point soon. But come back on Thursday for more news. We'll catch you guys later.
Peace.